The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does settle your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, and we are here broadcasting live from downtown Reading on Jefferson State of Mind.
In the heart of Jefferson?
Yes. At KCNR Studios.
Where we've been for, what, 14, 15 years?
That's all?
That's it.
Jeez.
I was much younger then. You weren't. I was.
As you can see, this is going to be a continuing soiree.
Yep.
And we're enjoying that. And Janet isn't here, so I can say soiree. I get corrected every time I say that. She said that's only at night. I said, not if it's continuing. Broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. And if you don't listen to us now, as you should be,
you will later.
Mm-hmm, because we archive everything forever.
And ever. Amen.
And so you can go to our website. You can go to KCNR1460.com, and you can listen to this anytime. We're excited today. And before I talk about our guests and introduce them, I do want to say that we did a town hall yesterday in Colusa.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
And well received.
You know, well received. Very well received. A lot better. I mean,
yeah.
When you were magnificent, I had to say you were great. You did a great job, man.
Thank you.
It's okay.
As did you. Janet did better than both of us, though. As
Janet
usual,
always
as does. Usual.
And yeah. She'll tell you that.
She's having a break from us today. She gets to have family time, so that's good.
So bashful. So, Wynn, would you like to introduce our guests?
Yes, we have a husband and wife duo here to come and check us out and make sure we're going to be asking a lot of good questions and hearing what they have to say. We have Mr. Clint Curtis and his beautiful wife, Jody.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming.
Now, we are going to have Q&A on the program, and when we have Q&A, what we're going to be talking about is basically what you want to see Clint do or what it is that Clint, what questions you may have about the ROV office. This isn't about any other political situation other than the fact that we need fair elections, and I believe that Clint has the why on that. Talk about the why on that, Clint.
Well, basically, my background was I was the programmer that wrote the initial code for the machines that allowed them to pick whoever you really wanted to win, and so you could cheat right in front. And that was the prototype code way back in 1999, and so I handed that in. I told Congress. I've been telling everybody for years, and essentially, we still use machines, and in fact, California now mandates that you use a machine. Doesn't matter if you have two people in the county, they force you to buy the machine and use it.
Is there any loophole that you can see in AB 969 of being able to get around that?
No, there really isn't. But, of course, there are a lot of executive orders coming out from D.C., and President Trump will probably fix that long before I would even have a chance to address it.
So how does the president put out an executive order mandate what the state can do on their elections? How does that work?
Well, a lot of people say you can't do that,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really study the law very well, because essentially what the government does is they fund everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in California, you have a budget, I think it's $700 billion or something,
mm-hmm.
but about half of that, maybe more than half, actually comes from funding from the federal government.
Okay.
And the federal government can say, well, if you don't want to play and it affects the actual funding source, which elections would affect everything, because if you don't have a fair election, technically any funding source would be going to somebody who may not really be elected and couldn't be used. So they can cut that off. And in the whole history of the country, that has only been overturned once.
Okay.
Sedin, I think, is the case. I didn't prep for this, so I don't remember the name exactly, but Sedin, it was Independent Business Association versus Sedin. And that's the only time when they said, no, you can't cut the funding if they don't cooperate.
Okay.
And that was an attempt to basically kill Obamacare, to defund it, based on kind of a loophole. It was a stretch case anyway, so, you know, it was a little iffy.
Okay.
But anyway, that's the only time. Every other time it's been upheld. If they don't cooperate, Trump could technically cut off California's funding, every dime of it.
Wow. Yeah,
I don't think they want that.
No, I don't think so either. Article 1, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, the times, places, and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But Congress, and that's the key, and I think that's going to be the real key if Trump can get Congress to do what he wants them to do, but Congress may at any time make law to alter such regulations. So that means that Congress really has a jurisdiction, not the president. Not to say that his bully pulpit isn't great, because that's where I think we can get it. But I think the thing is, too, I know that when Gavin Newsom was being hassled a bit by the federal government, in fact, it was Doug LaMalfa, who was our congressman, he was hassling the federal government, he was being hassled by the federal government, meaning Newsom, state of California, over what was going on with his parental secrecy policy. I mean, Newsom has to do is raise the price on gas, and he doesn't need their money. I mean, when you stop and think about how many people gas up in California a day, what, 10 million, 20 million, 25 million? And then you talk about the Mexican border to the Oregon border. So, I mean, all he's got to do is raise the price on gas, airplane fuel, diesel, et cetera. But I think that I love what you're saying. Let's hope at this point that the economics of California does lean toward that pressure.
Well, they can't raise your gas much more. I mean, it's $5 here. It's $2.73 in Orlando, Florida. How much are you paying?
How much more? I know, brother.
How much are you paying in taxes? It's just incredible.
And a lot of those taxes are supposed to go to road repair. Well, what do we have here? Potholes everywhere. I mean, just nasty.
Right.
And we should all collectively start sending our tire repair bills and our rim repair bills and alignment repair bills to the cities and to the counties. We should do that and come and demand that they pay for it, because then you've got to start at the bottom and work your way up. So maybe something will happen there. I doubt it, but, you know. Sounds like a good way to vent.
Is it supposed to go to road repairs, or is it mandated to go to road repairs?
That I couldn't tell you.
Mandate isn't law, though. Okay. See, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, California, and that's the problem we have. And I mean, if we have in the Senate, we have 33 Democrats and 7 Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about either party. I'm just saying that that's what we have. And in the Assembly, we have 60 Democrats, 19 Republicans, and one county, Riverside County, District 63, doesn't have anybody.
Nobody, yep.
And then we have the spawn of Satan as governor. So we have all this stuff going on. So, you know, where do we go when it comes to
getting help?
And that's why I think we're all excited about you, Clint, being our new ROV officer, because you're the kind of guy that's very cool under pressure. I saw how you handled some criticism from one of the supervisors. I thought it was so well done. Anyway, we were talking about the why. What are some of the things that you see that are things you'd like to see differently happening at the ROV office that you can talk to us about?
Well, absent being stuck with the machines, because I've always said for 20 years, you know, go to a hand count, make sure ahead of time, don't let the paper touch the computer until someone else is taking care of it, right? So, I mean, you can always use the computer at the end to check it, but I wanted a hand count first. You can't do that in California. But what we can do is we could actually videotape the sort, because you stack things. So when you're at a precinct, you stack everything at the precinct, the camera can see it, and then the computer can't really change it.
Yeah.
You're not counting it. I guess you could if you slowed it down, but it'd take you a day or two. But you could do that, and then the computer can't change it. And if you think it did, all you'd have to do is review the film, and I will make that publicly available to everyone.
Wow.
So you have the count. You box it up, you put your seals on it, everything is in stacks of 50, I believe is the easiest way to send them through, especially in Hart. So you put them in 50s, and then you send them back to the elections office. Then you have the seal. The seal should be the same. If it's not, you have a problem. Then you count them again on camera. So now you know what is the same. Hart actually has the ability to print an individual serial number on each one, both barcode and visible. Well, it's not tied to a voter, so it doesn't really matter. I think visible is easier and much better because I don't personally read barcode. I think you do, don't you?
Don't you? I don't agree.
Don't you in three of nine? So the barcode, you know, is kind of a waste of time, but it does have the numbers.
Sure.
And so you would actually be able to, if you took the time to do it, you would notice that it went in one way. And then over here, you'd see the mirror. You would see that going back the other way.
Right, right.
Now you can run it through the machine. Okay. Right? So you run it through the machine. When it's done, you count them again. Because it should be 50 in, should be 50 out, and the 50 that come out should be the same that went in.
Correct.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
And you do this all in the open so everybody knows what's going on. This can also eliminate a lot of the hassles of people that have a close election, and then they have to go through it, through the whole recount process.
Yeah. Right.
But you wouldn't need to do that.
Right.
Because you would say, okay, I'm going to check my precincts. I'll slow these down. I'm going to count. Well, I got beat. Or I didn't get beat. I'm calling somebody.
Right, right.
But for the machine to cheat on the count at that point would be ridiculous.
Okay.
Or for anyone in there, because a lot of people think it's a machine's problem.
Right.
But I'm not convinced it's a vendor problem at all. It may be much deeper than that. We monitored a race down in Texas, Congressional Race 22, back in 22. And so we were looking at all of the this was the person who was running as an independent in this race was actually catching slideshows of all the times. So he was catching every county. Eight different counties, right? A lot of spread. Three different vendors. At 8:34, exactly 8:34 in each and every county, the Democrat and the Independent had exactly the same number of votes.
Wow.
To me, that's a math problem going on, right? Now you're putting them together and then go to your division, you're going to put together and down.
Wow.
Now, for the independent, he was pretty happy because he was showing a whole lot of votes that normally independents don't get. At 8:35, it all changed back. So now he doesn't have all his votes.
What happened?
Somebody's made an adjustment, right? So, wow. But in a math, and that's the way my program worked, if you ever saw the demo of it, is basically you put together the math, you figure out where it is. I added the Democrat and the Republican together, divided by 51 to 49, and gave whoever the person wanted to win the 51.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beyond the recount, so they have to pay for it, and still very hard to go through and try and to dissect, because you have no video before and after. So that would have essentially fixed all the problem. But, you know, if that was a vendor problem, it wouldn't have occurred across three different vendors.
Right.
And if it was a county problem, it wouldn't have occurred across eight different counties.
Right.
And this is a Republican district that's an R plus 7, which means nobody had to cheat.
Wow.
It made no sense to cheat. If you just left it alone, it would have been perfectly fine, right?
Right.
The Republican was still going to win, because he did. You know, it would have been really abnormal if he didn't. But the question comes to mind, is it really an R plus 7? How long has it been tinkered with? It could be an R plus 20, or it could be a D plus 1. You'll never know, and that's the problem. So that's what we've got to get back to, is where everybody knows that the election is perfect.
Right.
And what happened in the last election with the whole Runbeck overspray,
yes,
which, of course, happened in just two counties in the whole United States. Which is really kind of strange, don't you think?
Was it Nevada? Was that the other one?
Nevada County and here.
Yeah.
That was it.
Because there are, what, 3,200 counties in the country? Something like that?
Something like that. And Runbeck has a lot of them.
Wow.
So, but only those two counties got messed up, which is kind of strange. So, you know, I'll eventually look into that once I get past the other, although I'm not sure the value of it. But what we have, what the county actually paid for and already purchased, is Hart machines which could print those ballots. We do not need Runbeck to do them. Runbeck charges $2.20 per ballot, essentially, is what we paid here in to print them on heart is 7.9 cents a ballot.
Wow.
A little bit different, you know.
So going back to that county in Texas, or those eight counties in Texas, mm-hmm. if it wasn't a vendor issue and it wasn't a county issue, who did it?
I don't know. Who has that kind of control?
Interesting.
Is it a deep state issue? Is it DHS? Because a lot of DHS stuff, and I'm not sure, haven't been able to find the contract here, because, you know, it's a little hard to come in and chug through things. People don't want to give them to you.
Yeah, you're the new guy. They don't want to give you anything.
But guess what? They have to.
Yeah.
So a lot of counties have this little secret thing with DHS, which basically allowed them to take over the security, free of charge, of course, of their election system. But as part of that, you have to sign in that they can come in and check and look at everything at any time. So basically they have a free road to do whatever.
That doesn't sound right. No matter how you look at it.
We have a caller on the line, and before we get to the caller, what we want to do is make sure that the questions are pithy. This isn't going to be a discussion only because we know we're going to get a few. If you do have a question, the phone number is 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. And Dave, do you have a question for Clint?
Yes. Will the scanned images of the ballots be released to the public? And how long are the paper ballots kept? Thanks.
Great questions.
The paper ballots are mandated to be kept 22 months. But I'm going to try and check and see if I can stretch that, because I'm not really sure if it's a must or a may here. And if it's may be kept until for 22 months or must be destroyed in 22 months, it makes a major difference because we're going to follow the law, whatever it is. But the images that we can create ahead of time and the ballot images themselves, I don't think have an expiration date, which means we can actually store that. And it's all electronic at that point, so it doesn't really matter. But once it goes through all that, there's another program called ABE. I've only seen it in operation once. It's free to people to use, but HART puts out ballot images at the end, and it can then go through the ballot images to make sure there's no hanky-panky there. But, you know, we're going to have so many reconciliation points, it would be absolutely crazy to try and cheat it. I hope somebody would.
Get caught.
That they would get caught. We're going to have definite proof that it's going to be cheated. So it won't be. You know, when you actually put the lock on the door, people don't come in and steal things.
Right.
Now, another question, are you going to take down all the bars in there and, you know,
the
rails and stuff like that and maybe serve cookies and water, you know? I don't know, maybe a beer, you know?
I don't think we're going to beer, but, yeah, that wall is coming down.
All right.
In fact, I'm going to try and get them to cut it up so people can have little souvenirs.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great idea.
Tear down that wall.
Tear down that wall.
Tear down that wall. In fact, I don't even like the Market Street situation at all.
Tell
because
me why.
It's too small, it's chopped up, and the way that they're doing it is they'll do something here, and then they'll do something here, and they'll do something here, and there's rooms that they can sneak off to play with whatever they want to. Mm. Right? And that's what happened the last one when they were redoing the ballots.
One big, wide, cavernous room is what you need, a giant room.
Giant room. So I'm trying to convince the county right now to give me the old courthouse.
Yes.
The new addition, not the old addition.
Right, right.
But that new addition, just that bottom floor there, would give me about six rooms twice as big as all of Marketplace.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that the county is leasing or renting the current location.
Right.
The county owns the courthouse.
Right. $15,000 a month, so.
$15,000 a month. Okay. So what could we do with $15,000 a month if we're over in a new, not in the old courthouse and leaving and vacating that other building? What could you do with $15,000 a month for your department, or maybe it goes to the general fund? I don't know, but $15,000 a month is quite a chunk of change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would go to the general fund, but he's suggesting cookies and beer. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, you could have cookies. How about pizza?
Yeah, you'd have to take that up with the board.
You could have a cater with cookies and coffee. Keep them going with the coffee. Keep them
but if I can get that space.
It's a soiree.
If I can get that space, we're going to make it so that the people doing the operation will be people who stand right behind them,
mm-hmm.
not behind a fence or
right.
in a field somewhere, right behind them, and that's actually the bad positions. But they need to stand there so that they can make sure that what they see there will also be on the screen, which will be above them.
Okay.
And then we'll also have like a lounge area, which you'll be able to see absolutely everything that's going on.
On the
wow.
screens.
That's really cool.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And your cookies might be there.
There you go. There you go.
We have a caller on the line. Dominique, what say you?
Hey, this is for Clint. Hi, Clint.
Oh, it's Dominic, not Dominique.
Dominic, yeah.
Dominic. It was written here as Dominique. Go ahead. I know you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Clint, I'm the president of an organization called the Shasta County Republican Assembly. We have, currently we have 50 members in our organization. I don't know if you're familiar with organization, but hopefully you will be. So my question is this. Are you a Republican or Democrat? And let me say something before you answer. I know that how you lead and what you're going to do in the ROV office is much more important than to you than what you're registered as, I think. But it does matter, and especially in Shasta County, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. And I know it's supposed to be a nonpartisan office, but I don't believe in nonpartisan offices anymore, personally. And
I don't either.
As you can see with judges yes. in this country and so on. So I just want, like, a straight answer. Are you Republican or Democrat?
I will give you a detailed answer.
Sure.
I grew up in Illinois, and I was born a Republican because even though Illinois is a blue state, it's kind of like California is a blue state.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago's blue, but everything south of Chicago yes. is blood red. Okay? But there's more of them than there are of us. But I was a Republican in South Illinois. When I moved to Florida, I was a Republican, but I started dealing with the Bush Republicans. And holy criminy, man, they took everything that was bolted down. I think Bush just got out of his last corruption suit like a couple years ago. So, I mean, it's a terrible thing and kind of gave me a very tainted view. Plus, they were the ones that requested the vote flipping software.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm not sure that it is restricted to them, you know, because the reason I wondered, well, why did the Democrats go along? But I'm kind of starting to believe the uniparty theory there. You know, they just keep the same people get elected over and over and over again. So there might be a little give and take there.
You think?
Yeah, I think. I'm not sure, though. Can't guarantee it. All right. You never know what's going on. So I changed to Democrat. Then I moved to had a job up in New York. And plus the whole party had shifted. There was the Bush Republicans and then there was the Trump Republicans. And Trump Republicans are more like the old-time Democrats. You know, they're for bringing jobs back and tariffs, and that's exactly what I was.
Kennedy Democrats, yeah.
Yeah, Kennedy Democrats.
Yeah.
So, essentially, you know, so now I'm a Republican. I was an independent in New York, you know, because you never want to jump in. You've been burned. But Trump is actually changing me over to Republican, so...
Like many others.
How's that for the answer? Yeah, like
many others.
Gabbard and
yeah.
Kennedy and half the Democrats I was talking to in the last election said, we've been lied to.
Right.
You know, when you found out that Biden was not super
yep.
Biden. And I met Biden before. Biden was a nice guy a while ago. But
right.
he deteriorated, and I think it got away from him.
Yeah. And then it leads you to question, who was really running the country?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
Oliver.
It was kind of like Reagan's two terms.
Yeah.
His first term was Morning in America.
Mm-hmm.
The next 2 years was pretty good, little soft. And then it was all CIA, Bush
right.
stuff going on that last 2 years with Reagan.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think you have to be real careful you don't slip.
There you go.
Because they will take it away from you.
That's right.
Well, we've got to go to our first break. So, Dominic, did that answer your question?
I think he's gone.
Oh, he's gone?
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
Well, we're going to go off to our break, our one and only break. If you have a question for Clint Curtis, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
can mock me, try to outsmart me. You can shame me and try to blame me. You can do your best to shut me up, but I will not be leaving quietly now. I won't leave, I won't leave, I will not be leaving quietly. I'm gonna stand here.
We've proudly partnered with the Reading Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night, opening on May 14th at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land, Reading Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Get ready to experience an unstoppable force and the youngest record-breaking country star, Gabby Barrett, in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, June 28th. Saddle up and boogie down to number one hits like The Good One and Pick Me Up. Tickets for this event start at just $40 plus fee. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 18th Annual Taste of Reading 2025, Sunday, June 8th from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
On the interstate at the edge of 17, under a winter sky, the shade of Grenada. Well, I never would have made it to the California lane. Without an old Freightliner driver and a cigarette that day.
Sally Lou.
Baby Lou.
Hey, baby.
Is that Sally singing?
No. Sally sings in the key of L.
Love you, Sally.
Yeah, beautiful, but I mean, sorry, baby.
She sings a great happy birthday song.
Yeah.
As do you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I digress. Okay, back to the soiree. Gosh, I could use that word today. She isn't here.
She's going to get you.
I know. We have Gary on the line. Gary, do you have a question for Clint?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Clint. The citizens of Shasta County felt that your predecessor not only wasn't a staunch advocate of election integrity, but he didn't even follow the laws, the state laws that were in place to protect the integrity of the vote. And they brought a lawsuit against him. Now that he is no longer there, I assume that that lawsuit would be aimed at your office. And I'm wondering if you've had a chance to review it, if you think that they were fairly accurate in terms of asking the registrar of voters to follow state law, and would you be willing to work with them to save the county thousands and thousands of dollars by settling this case out of court and just saying, yes, I'm going to follow state law?
Absolutely. I've read it. The writ of mandamus, very well done. I don't know if it was done local or if you had an election attorney do it, but someone who knew what they're doing did a very good job. And
I
yes,
think it was Haberbusch.
Yes. They didn't follow the law. It's really that simple. And I don't think most times people follow the law if they think they can get away with not doing so on an election issue, because I see this all the time. You'll get people that just make it up. one of the big things they blew over and over and over again, it's kind of actually, if you go back and look at the history of elections through Shasta County, was the fact that they don't do the organization of candidates the correct way. And that law was passed in 1975 based specifically on making sure it was, you got a fair shake to get in the proper order. And Shasta County has relentlessly just made up their own. And in fact, I was here a couple years ago when Kathy Darling was still in charge, and her name appeared in multiple different locations on the ballot, even in the same precinct. So it was a different ballot style in the same precinct, which doesn't make any sense because that's not the way computers count. They don't read the name. They read the dot. So that makes that look a little suspicious. You could have her be in a different location, although you shouldn't, because if you follow the law, the Secretary of State actually puts out a list ahead of time, which we are going to put out to the public when it comes out so the public knows. And then we're going to design the ballot, and then we're going to send that to the candidates so the candidates know, you know, in case we screw up, because people are human. But if you should never screw this up, because you'd have a lot of checks and balances there. So more than a couple eyes, you know, get it out to the public so they see what's going on. They can compare it to the list, and, you know, it should have been done, and it hasn't. So, yeah, we're going to see if we can work on getting the writ of mandamus accepted, and, you know, that's the way it is. We're going to do it the right way either way, but, you know, the people that took the time to show it deserve a pat on the back for making it happen.
There you go.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll do what we can to speak before the board. I've done it already twice, asking them to accept your proposal whenever we see it. So please let us know when that happens.
Sounds good. Yeah, we're going to sit down with them and go through it point by point and say, why are we contesting a writ of mandamus that actually just says, follow the law? We want to follow the law, right?
Keep exactly. It simple. Keep it simple. Yep.
Great. Thank you, Clint, and congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. So, yeah, I think that that's such a good point. I mean, a lot of the things that you're bringing up is all changes that people want. I see a real positive, I feel very positive going forward about all this. It's so,
absolutely.
And I think you folks out there generally do too. You know, I think one of the things that, before I take this call, I just want to ask you a quick question. A lot of times we have people that promise they're going to do things, say they're going to do things.
And they never do.
And they never do.
It's so frustrating.
But I think that, I mean, to me, I respect your boldness because you're just sort of, hey, this is what we're going to do, which is kind of, yeah, that's good.
Refreshing.
Yeah.
Refreshing.
We don't hedge a lot. Don't hedge a lot.
We can't afford to.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's going to if you do a bunch of that, it's going to cost you your job. It's going to cost you character assassination, which you're already going to get, and I'm sure you've already gotten. And it all those other things that happen will just be amplified if.
Right. Well, it'll cost me my integrity, and that's the one that really matters.
And that's that's exactly right.
He's learned to have very thick skin.
Yeah, the rest doesn't matter.
She looks like she could be pretty tough, too. That girl.
I go to the gym.
That girl. Yeah, pretty soon she'll be in the rodeo, huh?
Hey, I'm game. Actually, come Sunday, tonight, he's going to do the horse whisperer event at the rodeo tonight. That should be fun.
That should be.
It'll be great.
Do I get to ride?
I don't think so. Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe somebody will let you.
So have you guys, are you looking for a place? Have you got a place yet? Or?
We found one.
Oh, great.
Good.
We found one. So you're the place person.
Yeah. It's a place.
Place of safety and security. It's home.
It's a four-bedroom, three-bathroom home.
Nice. You get a pool?
So. No.
Didn't get a pool. I can't swim anyway.
Everything goes so fast around here.
The market has picked back up.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like we just barely saw the house, a house, and then we contact the realtor. We think about it a day or two. We contact the realtor, and it's like it's already gone.
Yeah, there's no thinking about it.
No.
That's the unfortunate part.
So we jumped on this one, you know.
And it came with a stray cat.
And it came with a cat.
There you go.
And his name on his tag says Jerry.
But he was like starving to death, and so when we saw him, we started feeding him, and now he's fattening up a little. So.
There you go.
But he will still remain outside because, you know, we're not supposed to have pets. But
it's his house anyway.
It's his house anyway. I think somebody somebody moved out, and I think they left him behind.
There you go.
So,
that
but
happens.
He loves being outside, and that's where he will get to stay.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Kay, what say you? Do you have a question for
Hi.
Clint?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'd like to, my question is, when you keep the ballots for 22 months?
Yes.
And, but what I'm wondering, and I always have, is if the election is challenged in any way, if it can be extended until the challenge is completed.
By law, it's supposed to be, but there are a lot of places that seem to forget that part. I was involved with a case down in Broward County, Florida, and there was a challenge. Debrie Wasserman Schultz?
Yeah.
You ever heard
of her?
Yeah.
Okay. Debrie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, yeah. Piece of work. Yep.
Well, the person challenging her, the election was weird looking, right? A lot of strange things, as they all are have been since I wrote the program. But so they challenged it. They got a court order. Not only did they have to retain those ballots all through litigation, they had to turn over copies of those ballots to that party. Mm-hmm. The supervisor of elections stayed up all night with their staff, shredding every one of those ballots with a court order, right? And her excuse was, they grabbed the wrong boxes to shred them. Even though they'd never stayed up all night to shred any other boxes, you know, it obviously wasn't. You know what happened to her?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Of course, nothing happens. Nothing, nothing happens when they are criminal and they're breaking the law.
Yes, it just, nothing happens.
Oh,
there
so
is no, there is no penalty. It's kind of like the Secretary of State of California is required by law to purge the voter rolls when the county tells them what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In California, there's been three suits straight in a row that the California Secretary of State has not done that. They keep leaving them on there. If you notice in the, is it in this one? I don't know. If you notice the executive order from Trump on the voter roll part, mm-hmm. there's actually criminal penalties built in for not doing it. So now there's a little teeth in there.
Okay.
So, and you got Pam Bondi, and she's a tiger. So I'm telling you, you know, we may make some movement here.
I hope so. I hope it just isn't a shot over the bow. Talking about a shot over the bow, Andrew, how are you, sir? What say you?
Andrew, are you there?
Andrew, are you there?
I think Andrew missed a...
Andrew, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm
currently in Susanville en route back to Bernie. Now, I have a question. Kathleen, not Darlene, would not answer the question if she liked voter ID. What is Clint's? What's your last name, sir? I don't know it.
Curtis.
And I'm really, from what you're saying, I'm very glad to hear you. But do you believe in voter identification and, more importantly, one day voting in person?
Yes, I think that voter ID is the best idea. And there are a lot of people on the Democratic side that fear that the voter ID could be used against someone because some people have trouble actually acquiring the documents to get that. We can actually do that. I mean, in Florida, when that happened back in, what was that, 96? 2003? I don't know. Back in Florida, we went from a ID to a photo ID, which was a different thing altogether. So your little card you get from the wherever didn't work anymore. So we set up a system where we coordinate everybody where people could get their documents and everything like that, and so that took care of that problem, kind of solved the issue. The weird thing was, even though we had Brevard, Volusia, and Seminole County, we only had about 150 takers to the whole thing. So it's not really going to be a lot of people that are disenfranchised by it. And if there is, I'll set the same thing up here so they can get the documents if they want to vote. And of those 150, unfortunately, most of them did not then register to vote. they simply wanted the documents for free, which is what we got them. But so much for that, huh?
Right. You made a comment regarding Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, how unusual the opponent was. Debbie looks like Jar Jar Binks. Anyway, I have to use that levity. Thank you so much, and I'll be listening while I'm traveling. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. That's hilarious. Laura, what say you?
Anyway,
Laura, are you there?
Yes, sorry, I am there. I have a little delay.
Okay.
Apologize.
Okay.
So, first of all, I have a question, or rather a statement. So we're going to be collecting signatures for our charter amendment today at the rodeo grounds at p.m. Oh, sorry about that. But my question, I'll take off the air the answer, but I wanted to ask Clint Curtis how he plans to address the culture and the climate in that office. You know, as observers, we were treated very, very poorly. And there's people in there that are very deceptive. You know, when we tried to get public records, they would tell us one thing and then do something else. And my concern is that some people, in particular Joanna Francesca, who's running for office, could potentially, you know, set you up for a fail. And I was wondering how you plan on dealing with her in particular and the office in general.
Well,
thank you.
There will be changes, of course, where people will know that we now operate in a fishbowl. So everything we do and everything we touch, you'll have a camera on you. Some people will not like that. Some people are just uncomfortable operating like that. And some people will know they'll get caught doing things they shouldn't, you know, sleeping during the day or whatever it is. So some people will want to move. I've already talked with the people in the county, and anyone who needs to move, I will find them a spot, some other department that is a little more comfortable, and try and move them along. So we're going to get nobody to lose their job, but if they stay in this department, they better be doing their job. Because I am not that opposed to firing people. You know, just a little gruff that way. Do your job and you're good. Don't do your job and you're not. But give you an easy out the first time. If you're not sure you want to do that job, then I'll give you an easy out. You can move over. You can go to, you know, public safety. You can go to something else where it's a little calmer, because we're not going to be that calm. We're trying to put together our first mock election within 90 days of me taking order. So it's only 3 days in, but 90 days, I want everything to be able to show the world what we got, what we're doing, and everything's open. And if you have some documents that you think were redacted improperly or anything like that, request them again, because the policy in the office now is going to be anything you redact better have a reason next to us why you redacted it, such as insufficient numbers that identifies a voter, something. And I'll review that, and I'll make sure it's right. So we'll take care of that problem. I want every document that you can legally have available to the public at all times.
So then, like you were saying, and I don't know, how many people work in that office? What's the total number?
Total number right now is about 20.
Oh, okay. Well, that's doable.
Right.
Okay. So then I was thinking, for some reason, I thought it was much more than that, just being ignorant to that.
Well, it goes up and down. Closer to an election, there's a lot more to do.
Right.
So then you get in your temporaries.
Right. Yeah.
So you bring it up, and it may hit like 40 at that point.
Okay, so out of 20, I'm just going to throw numbers out. You don't have to agree with any of them at all, but say maybe – I know five or six decide they want to leave. Mm-hmm. So within the county, there should be five or six vacancies elsewhere that could be filled if they choose to move on and go do something else. So that should be a doable thing.
I am told there are over 200 vacancies available in
right.
the county.
Well, and it depends on what the qualifications are mm-hmm. and all that other, you know, because I worked for the county for years.
They work for the county, so they'll be able to get into them pretty easy.
Yeah,
you know?
They should be able to.
So
yeah.
While the general public may have an issue with getting into them, you know, someone's worked there for years will be able to, like, to pass all over.
Right, right.
Plus, I'll write him a great recommendation.
There you go. Well, good. Well, that's good to hear. So, you know, when they kick, scream, and squeal about things, and we know, you know, they've made choices. So
mm-hmm.
their choice to move on is their choice. So that's good. And you're right. Making a choice to either do the work and do it right and make sure everything's going to right. fall in the letter of the law, what have you, and common sense and just having ethics, just doing everything like they should.
And a lot of times county employees will simply take on whatever leadership tells them to do.
Right.
Because they have families to feed, and they like houses with roofs on them and stuff like that.
Right, right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, they'll just, so they'll just take on what they're told to do, and they just, you know, they may not agree with it, but it'll set. And, you know, now there's a slightly different sheriff in town.
Right, right.
So the professional county employee will just adapt to that, and they'll be aggressively out there trying to give everything as open as they can give it.
There you go. Okay, well, that's good to hear.
That's
I'm glad
the goal.
Yeah, I love that because, you know, you're their boss, and you're cordial, you're respectful, you're their boss, but you're their boss, not their friend.
Right.
And the thing is that I think people are tired of the fact that things don't get done because the 11th commandment is not thou shalt be nice. No matter what people believe. And I think we've lost a lot of that by not being honest and frank. And
honest,
I think that's
yeah.
where the president really won. I mean, you know, what do you call Ted Cruz? Lion Ted?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he looked over Jeb Bush, he goes, what are you doing here during that debate? It's like, you know, and I'm not saying you have to be that way. I'm just saying I think people are tired of the BS. And we just don't have time for it anymore.
Right. And we've gone down the bad road so many times on other things. And even with the elections office for years, we didn't realize that we were being lied to. We didn't realize all this stuff because Terry and I belong to a couple of different organizations, and we would have the ROV in, and they would talk to the committee, the people that were there. And we had people, there were 300 or 400 people attending these meetings, and she would come in and tell us all these wonderful things. And, you know, you look back and think, huh. She was lying to us the entire time, snake in the grass. You know, it's very disheartening when you have that happen to that many people over and over again. And it was just very frustrating. And then we got more in tune to what we're looking for with politics and how things were working and who was lying and who wasn't. And that's why a lot of things here in Shasta County have been changing. A lot of people are just done with it.
Well, the problem with an election office, too, is most of them try to hide everything.
Right.
So you get very little access, and they tell you how great they did.
Yeah.
So, and how do you know they didn't?
Right.
Right.
Unless it completely catches fire like the last two elections they had, you know, it's kind of hidden. So, you know, we did one with Montana where this lady was running for reelection, and so she was on camera, but she didn't know it. They had a camera, but they had a little block in front of it to try and hide it, but it had slipped down, so the camera was catching her. And she's sitting there marking, remarking ballots by herself, no one else around her, and shredding the one she's marking.
Oh, my God.
And she did it after the security guard that was monitoring the shredding machine got up to go get food.
Right.
So she rushed. You could see her rush over to the shredder on camera. And she's doing this, and she's looking behind her back, and she's looking to see if he's coming back. And then seconds later, she runs off, and there's a security officer.
Of course, you know what happened to her, right?
Nothing. Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Frustrating.
Which is another reason they cheat, because they can.
Right.
They can. They lock themselves in there. They do what they want to do. But with the system I'm proposing, and I also forgot to mention that, the mail-in ballots are not going to be opened prior to anything. No pre-counting. No one knows what's in them. They will go over to the precincts. They'll be opened there, and they'll be stacked on film. So you'll know as soon as everybody else.
Okay.
Because the important thing is I don't want people to trust me or anyone else. I want them to be able to see everything so they don't have to trust me.
Right, right.
Because I'm old. I'll die here pretty soon. The next guy could come along and cheat you.
Right.
Don't let him do that.
Right, right.
You know, Jody, I noticed that this is great because, you know, we have two really seemingly great people coming into our community.
Mm-hmm.
And are you thinking about doing anything in the community, or you're just going to do what Jody does?
Little of both.
Little of both.
Little of both. Cool. It depends on what's needed. You know, I just go with the flow. Mostly I'm his support, and
biggest
I help
hitter.
Him.
She's my babysitter.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but yes, if I don't keep his calendar, he may miss something.
Yeah, my wife still dresses me.
No, I don't go that far.
Oh, she does. I mean, we had five kids, you know, and me and the boys would get on the end of the bed, and Mommy's going to dress us.
You know? I may help him decide which tie to wear. But
does, yeah, does she tell you your stuff doesn't match?
All the time.
Oh, I mean, to tell you, that's one thing we have, you know. But before we were going out and stuff, the way I dressed was fine. you know.
But now you represent her.
Oh, that's how that works.
See, I've been married almost 50 years, and I'm just finding that out. You hear that, baby? Huh? So, yeah, I think it's so when do you get the opportunity to move into your new home? Is that happening soon?
This week.
Oh, great. Okay, I bet that'll be nice, huh?
Yes.
Good.
Get that space in there, your own spot, huh?
Yes, and then I get to go and grab everything and bring it here.
Great.
While he goes to work.
Nice little trek across country,
yes.
Huh?
Yes, that shall be fun. That'll be my solitude.
There you go.
D-cell before I get back in the mix of people stabbing me in the back.
Yeah, you know, that's talking about that. You've already gone into the office. You're already rolling with this stuff. What's your consensus? How has it been as far as your reception from your employees?
They're all scared, as well they should be. You know, you get a new guy coming in there, and they were having their little meeting with Joanna, right? Mm. They offered to have me sit down and be with them, and I said, no, I'll take care of it next week. Because I didn't want to interrupt their flow, but I also didn't want to sit down and have a howdy meeting before I've checked anything out and know what's going on. I'm very cautious that way. So when we have our next meeting, we'll talk about, you know, what the expectations are, and we'll get everything moving along at that point.
That's great. So anyway, I think a lot of people are looking forward to this. We have about 3 minutes left, and is there anything that you guys want to add to what you've said, or anything that any thoughts?
Basically, we want a system that's fully open to everyone. So if you've called the ROV's office before and they basically told you to pound sand, call again. We actually want to know what you're concerned about, and we want to fix it. We're going to do a lot of outreach, so we're going to go to all the communities and go to all the events so they can actually talk to me there if they don't want to call or make anything formal, just want to do a quick chit-chat.
And town halls.
And we will get it done. We're going to reach out to you, but save me some time. Reach out to me, right?
Right.
Yeah, we couldn't get the last ROV officer to even answer the phone. He wouldn't even answer the phone. He wouldn't. He wouldn't talk to anybody.
Well, he's sleeping.
Well, I don't know. I think he was a bit over his head. But anyway, yeah, so.
So the things that, I'm sorry, but what are they called? Well, anyway, people inquiring and wanting to get data from your office. So there were
freedom of information.
There you go. There were a lot of inquiries over the past probably 4 or 5 years. So there could be a plethora of questions being rebooted coming back to you via email line or phone or whatever. So you're willing to take on that?
Bring them on.
Okay. All right.
Well, I said we have 20 employees and no election to throw. Let's give them something to do.
There you go. All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure that that was my understanding, and I know a couple people that are listening that have been doing that for a while. They're probably just, you know, wringing their hands like, okay, here we go.
Let's do it. There's not that much that we should be able to hide from them.
Right.
You know, that we're required to hide from them. Most things should be pretty much open. Mm-hmm. So anything I can give them, I'll give them.
And that shall come to those who wait.
That's right. And so when you say hide, are you just talking about for safety and security purposes?
Right,
stuff
something
like that?
That's mandated, that it's blacked out, that we're not allowed to provide.
Okay, gotcha.
But if that is true, I want a answer on there as to why it's blacked out and why we can't give it. And
okay.
We're not just going to say no.
Right.
We're going to find out what it actually is. And not the standard, you know, section 345 prevents us from providing this information. Not good enough.
Right.
That tells you nothing, right?
Right.
Tell you why I can't provide it. So
okay.
It'll be lengthier for people to hide things than it will just to be giving it.
Right.
So we're going to make it a little more painful for them to try and block things.
There you go.
And well, then they got to go through me.
There you go.
That's the hardest part.
That's the good part. You can intercede and nullify.
Nice to have a new gatekeeper.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Clint. Thank you, Jody. You guys are amazing. Thank you for being here. I hope you folks enjoyed this. Share this with your friends. Remember, you can go to the archive, and we do podcast worldwide, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
gate.